the fisting is done correctly, I can't see where they're coming from at all.
You don't stop till you hit the sleeve, man.
What?
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another Saturday night. I am Josh Hadley. With me is the cat.
Hello, everyone.
You'll notice you are the cat, not a cat, as if there are no others.
There are no other cats quite like me.
And then, of course, there's that zen as fuck shithead, Charlie McMullen.
Hey, guys.
What the fuck was that?
It was zen as fuck. What are you complaining about?
I guess. Jesus. Well, before we get into the stories, you guys just, I mean, you two, as well as the audience, should go to adamandeve.com. There, if you use the promo code WHAT, you would get 10 free gifts on top of whatever you're getting that's probably going to go into you or you into. You would get 6 free DVDs. You would get a free mystery gift for him, a mystery gift for her, a mystery gift for both of you, and just, you know, U.S. shipping for free. You know, screw you, Canada. You don't get it, but America, you get free shipping.
But you guys have free healthcare, so, I mean, it's win and lose.
So what you're saying is in Canada, they can get the butt plug that gets sucked in too deep removed for free, but they can't get it shipped to them for free.
You don't even have to take the day off work.
That's a dichotomy I don't think I'm ready to handle.
Then let's not.
Then let's not.
There are two cheeks to every ass, Josh.
For this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We've got a lot of goofy shit for the first segment here, but I'm going to decide that Rooster Cogburn from the 1969 True Grit robbing a bank is going to be what we go with. Did you guys see this, how the Lexington, Kentucky TV station ran Rooster Cogburn's picture as Michael Fleet? Two inmates escape from prison, local Fox affiliate Joshua Stephenson and Michael Fleet. They have Joshua Stephenson's photo and John Wayne as Rooster Cogburn for Michael Fleet.
Well, I hope they finally catch that son of a bitch.
I mean, he's only got one eye.
As long as they come at him from the left, you know.
That's actually hilarious. I think probably every TV station has some sort of default picture that they throw on there before they upload whatever picture it is that they have clearly forgotten to upload on time.
I don't remember what the one for my station was. I never worked in graphics, so I never made this mistake, but it did happen a few times. Ours was a cartoon character. I think like Daffy Duck or Tasmanian Devil or something was our default. I don't know why they do that. Like I said, I didn't work in graphics, so I don't know the ins and outs of how many hands this has to pass through to make it on the air. But I just find it funny that, you know what? The actual inmate, Michael Fleet, if that was me, I'd have been proud. Fuck yeah!
I would have robbed a bank just to get up on a mugshot.
I would have been a little pissed that it wasn't the Jeff Bridges Rooster Cogburn.
Well, there's not much more we can say about that, so how about we move up to Canada again? Canadians prove their own stereotypes again and again. A Canadian guy accidentally drove his Dodge Ram pickup right through a Wingin' It restaurant, and after he apologized to everyone, he bought them a round of wings because he was so sorry. That is so Canadian. It was like dripping maple syrup, isn't it?
I bleed maple, said every Canadian ever. I read this article and they never really explain why he drove through the window to begin with. Like, did he lose control of the vehicle or what?
Yeah, I don't think
genuinely
that matters.
Curious.
It's Canada. It's Canada. They do that, right?
It's Canada is not an excuse for wanton destruction of a building that could have killed people but didn't.
He
must
bought
have been
him around
a slow
wings.
Day at Wings.
He bought him a round of wings, all right?
That is really Canadian.
Maybe instead of learning how to drive, he was just winging it. I don't think that response could be more Canadian if it were smothered with French fries and gravy. Poutine. No.
It's Canada, it's not fucking America.
Well, then how about we move to Michigan, where we talk about Charlie McMullen's future. In Pontiac, Michigan, a homeless man stole an ambulance, led the police on a high-speed chase, tried to stop the ambulance at a titty bar named the Booby Trap.
This is your future, Charlie.
This is you, man. And then the guy is smiling in his mugshot like, yeah! When he was arrested, he said he was going to go see some pole dancing.
Well, okay. I don't know that I can defend this, but
if I knew that I was going to be arrested, like, within the next couple of minutes, I might try to make it to see some dances before I go away for a long time. And he probably saw a good one, judging by the mugshot.
This is a homeless man. The ambulance pulled over, and then when they got out of the ambulance to go help whoever they got called for, he just decided, hey, look, an ambulance! And got in and decided to drive to the booby trap. Which, by the way, I want to say, is a fantastic name for a strip bar.
And it's actually quite good. I really hope whoever was needing that ambulance got the medical attention that they required. That being said, this is a fantastic story. This is hilarious. And that guy's going to go to jail and probably be better fed in prison than he was on the street. Good for him. Going to jail in style.
Yeah, he's no longer homeless, is he? I mean, prison is an upgrade if you're homeless, and he got there in the best possible way, in a stolen ambulance at a strip club.
The booby trap. Show some respect.
The booby trap. He beat the system. I say good for him.
I just, when I saw his, I'm reading the article, and I'm like, all right, and then I see the photo, and I'm like, this is Charlie. This is Charlie in like 20 years.
Yeah, I think 20 years is probably a very generous estimation. I probably would have said 12.
I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I know, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Now let's move on to a weird abuse of the system in a positive manner. You guys have heard about how the Olive Garden has that never-ending pasta bowl promotion, right? Where for a certain amount of money, you can go in and get as much pasta as you want for 7 weeks. You can get pasta for every meal, and it doesn't matter. You guys have heard about this, right?
I eat at real Italian restaurants.
It's the Olive Garden. Who the fuck eats there? I mean, to quote John Oliver, I always thought they just microwaved day-old pasta between two napkins, but okay, I guess they actually cooked their food.
I've participated in this special in particular. This is not the first time they've done it. And endless pasta in a bread bowl, you might as well just have, like, just a big dick of carbs fuck you in your ass.
Well, a man decided that he was actually going to try and pay it back. He got the never-ending pasta bowl promotion and then found that he probably wasted his money because he didn't really like it. So he decided, I've still got this for 7 weeks. He found out that they do takeout with this. So every day, for every meal, three times a day, he goes into the Olive Garden, gets a different pasta meal, and goes and hands it out to a homeless person out on the street. I think that is a fantastic way of being an awesome human being, don't you?
That's amazing. That's really, really great.
I like how he's forcing the Olive Garden into charity. That's awesome.
They're saying he's abusing the system. It was meant for you, not you to get takeout to give to homeless people. The Olive Garden, are you so fucking stupid you don't see a brilliant PR move right here?
I thought he got their okay to do it.
He got their okay to do takeout. At that point, they didn't know he was handing it out to homeless people.
And the fact that that's worse than just him, because as far as they know, if he's not handing it out to homeless people, he's just sitting in his house alone, surrounded by empty takeout containers, just weeping in the dark. I don't see how this is worse than that.
They should just take it for good press and be less of a dick.
But on the other hand, he is feeding homeless people with the Olive Garden, so he might be just killing them faster.
Yeah.
It's kind of a double-edged sword.
I hope none of them already have heart disease.
This is one of those stories where I said, if it were a better restaurant, it'd be a better story. It's the Olive Garden, so you can only go so far.
It's a mixed blessing for everybody, I think.
Now, in the next segment, we're going to be talking about England a lot, in not-so-quality terms. How about we talk about the funny England story to round out this segment?
This is the lube that they'll need for the other England story.
How about MP Penny Mordaunt, who lost a bet? She's really cute, too. She lost a bet. It doesn't say what the bet exactly was, but she lost a bet that she would not be able to deliver her speech to Parliament and get the word cock in there over 20 times. She did it. And it's quite funny, this hen and cock welfare, the cockatriel, and that she used the slang term cock-a-hoop multiple times. And she's doing this whole thing totally straight-faced. This is a British thing, isn't it? In America, could you see John Boehner doing this? By losing a bet and having to work cock into a speech and be straight-faced about it?
I'm amazed this hasn't happened yet in America, and I think it's because we take our politics so seriously. And it does deserve a level of seriousness, but I think this shows very good character in this woman for making good on her bet.
She lost fair and square, right?
And the bet was with a bunch of military people. She's a reservist, I think it said. So
reservist in the Royal Navy.
Yeah, so they take their shit seriously, but it's the ridiculous stuff that they are taking seriously. I think that's brilliant.
This is the Monty Python influence on national policy, and I think that's awesome. I think if more American lawmakers were willing to do stuff like this, I would watch C-SPAN a whole lot more.
She's really cute too, isn't she?
Yeah. She's got like a naughty librarian thing happening.
Well, when we get back after break, we'll talk about how naughty librarians in the UK are not necessarily banned, but they might be.
During the recording of this week, hour-long heart attack that focused on military maneuvers in downtown Los Angeles and the burning down of a full city block, seven-story tall building. Within 3 days, these military maneuvers beginning that include the Marines practicing building assaults, building takedowns, and all of a sudden in downtown LA, where they're doing their maneuvers and doing their training, a city block burns to the ground in the middle of police violence, protests all over the country. Why are they choosing to do military maneuvers on American soil in major American cities? Josh, what do you think when you hear this? What do you think when you hear Marines practicing building takedown combat maneuvers, then 3 days later, a building burns to the ground where they were practicing their maneuvers? What do you think, brother?
I think a Michael Bay film got out of control.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know what happened. I do not know. What I'm saying is, it's fucking fishy.
It is fishy. I'm not going to argue with you on that. I
can't draw a conclusion. I'm just saying it's fishy.
I don't know. I don't see any direct correlation, but I do see the timing as more than coincidental.
And they really wouldn't tell the cities exactly when these maneuvers will begin. What the fuck is up with that? You can't. They refuse to tell the city and the police departments the day and the exact time they're combat maneuvers that involve helicoptering in Marines on a chopper in American cities in downtown L.A., you'd think it'd be pretty important to let the citizens know when you've got soldiers running around with guns.
I don't know,
unless
about
something
citizens.
Else is going on.
I don't know about
we're
the citizens.
Citizens.
But
we're
definitely...
American citizens. You're talking about the military, not police, the military.
Right. But I'm just saying the citizens wouldn't necessarily have to know that unless it would impact them. The government, the police and whatnot, would have to be informed. Otherwise, they're going to start sending
police,
out SWAT units.
I would think the police would need to know when there's a bunch of men running around with guns.
Some people got in trouble earlier this year for, you know, with all the school shootings and everything.
Yeah.
A school had an abrupt training exercise on what to do. They didn't tell any of the students that a fake gunman was going to try and take the school that day so they could gauge how the people would react. That's bullshit.
In Illinois, I just, in this age when we have an issue with police violence across the entire country, and I've been saying over and over again that this police violence stems from the leadership down. The civilian oversight, they decide who gets hired to be a cop, how much training a cop gets, what training they get. And in Los Angeles, the local community officials like City Hall have been ordering the police what laws to enforce and what not to enforce. And now in Illinois, both the Republicans and the Democrats, near unanimously in the Illinois House and Senate, with an overwhelming majority of votes, 106-7 in the House, 46-1 in the Senate, they voted to make it a Class 3 felony to videotape or record any conversation with a police officer, an attorney general, or judge. And this carries a sentence of 2 to 4 years in prison. So what did the Republicans and the Democrats of Illinois do in the realm of all these protest marches about, hey, the violence has gone too far, we need to reexamine our police force and take another look at how they deal with us, the people? And we are citizens. We're not civilians. We're fucking citizens. And these police officers, they work for us. They're of us. They don't get paid huge amounts of money. Their families go to school with our families and our kids. So, folks, police officers, you're one of us. You're not one of the politicians. You're one of us. Now, what I want is I want the listeners out there to call the office of Illinois Governor Pat Quinn at 312-814-2121 and demand that he veto the amendment to Senate Bill 1342. And only Illinois Governor Pat Quinn can do this. So you need to call him and be cool, because this would make it illegal for the news to shoot. This would make it illegal for anyone to do a private investigation on elected prosecutors. Prosecution. I keep fucking up that word, but what we're seeing here is they've made it basically illegal to catch the prosecuting wing of our justice system in a crime. Because if you can't record them, how are you going to catch them doing a crime?
We did a story back when Jillian was still on this show, so a couple of years ago, in Illinois, about corrupt police officers who were caught on tape by a civilian, that, you know, their word, a civilian that illegally taped an officer, not only sexually harassing her, but soliciting her for a bribe. She got more time than the officer did because of her illegal recording due to Illinois state law. This isn't exactly new. According to Illinois state law, both parties have to consent to be recorded, which is where this law actually comes on a legal sense. That if the cops say, I don't want to be recorded, you cannot record them. They have to give their consent. And it also boils down to, quote,
and
what's
called
a reasonable...
And this also goes in direct conflict.
But
it's in direct conflict with the Supreme Court's ruling. The Supreme Court ruled that it's legal for you to film the police.
This ruling buried... within it, and this is what they're using, is you cannot record somebody without their consent in a place where they have, quote, a reasonable expectation of privacy. I'm sorry, but police officers, when you're on the street and you are doing something, you do not have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
You're a public servant. When you were a police officer, you were volunteering to put on a uniform that puts you above everybody else. You were held accountable. You're supposed to be more accountable for your actions than somebody else. When you take on the job of being a police officer, and I respect this job very much, it's a very difficult job, your job is to service the needs of the civilians. Your job is to serve and protect us. It isn't about breaking a man with the law. It isn't about killing a man over he might have sold a cigarette. You know, a person's life is worth more than a cigarette. A person's life is more than, hey, you can't say that to me. You know, officers, you don't get to be violent because somebody said something mean to you. Did somebody say something mean to you on the street? And then you're going to react violently? That's how a bully reacts. That's how a child reacts. You're reacting like bullies. And that's a real issue here is they're being trained to be bullies. They're not given the amount of equipment they need. They're not being properly trained with tasers. One of the most disturbing things I've been seeing with Mace is it's a simple fact that if you have a guy handcuffed and you have him under you, why the fuck are you macing somebody? That's called torture. That's called spitting in the face of your victim. When I was a kid getting bullied on the south side of Chicago and the bullies pin you down and they're yelling at you, say uncle, and they're spitting in your face. Does that kid grow up to be a cop so he can hold somebody down? It's really wrong, folks. We have to really, really re-examine how we handle our policing, how we handle policing in this society. And it's our politicians we have to hold to the fire. People like Illinois Governor Pat Quinn at 312-814-2121. These are the people that we have to put the heat on. The cops are just the muscle. The cops are the feet. They're not the head of the body. They are being put in the middle. They are being played off against us. This isn't about race. This is about human beings. This is about American citizens. You have to stand up for your rights. You have rights. We have rights, and there's more of us than there are these politicians. There's more of us than these rich fat cats who think they can just enforce through police brutality. Well, that's over, guys. America is waking up. Regular Americans are waking up to this problem and saying, you know what? It's time for change. And we can make that change. All of us can.
Last segment we talked about how England was having a little bit of fun with Cox. Well, not necessarily. The BBFC, the British Bureau of Film Censors, and David Cameron has decided that they are outlawing essentially BDSM. Now, what they're doing is they laid down a list of all the sex acts you can no longer depict. By depict, they mean shoot on camera. You can't download it from the internet. The porn block in the UK will be blocking all of these things from Pornhub and even from American sites. You cannot make this kind of porn. You cannot engage in this kind of porn on camera. So basically they're saying what they're doing is driving this stuff underground. I'm going to read the list, and if you guys laugh at it, you can laugh at it, but we'll talk more about this. They have now outlawed spanking, caning, aggressive whipping. I guess passive whipping is okay, but...
So far they haven't outlawed anything that you can't do to your own children for misbehavior.
Penetration by any object, quote, associated with violence. So would that mean a penis? Because, you know, men are violent?
I guess if it's a stuffed animal, then it's okay.
Paddington Bear, right up the ass.
Physical or verbal abuse, regardless if consensual.
Sorry.
Water sports.
Wait, what?
Role-playing as non-adults. That one's kind of creepy on its own, but okay. No little schoolgirl outfits anymore. I guess most of your Japanese porn is out now. Physical restraints. No more tying up. Humiliation. Well, I guess you can't be in a relationship anymore.
Yeah, that's far too subjective.
Female ejaculation. You don't get to come anymore, ladies.
Wouldn't want ladies to have any fun.
Strangulation. Okay, that one. Okay, I guess you don't want a David Carradine, but face sitting and fisting.
Well, what a bunch of fucking prudes.
The last three, strangulation, face sitting, and fisting, were all added under life endangering practices. And now they can be. People do die from some of this stuff. Fair enough. They're doing all of this under the tenet of protecting the children. Are children really into water sports and
fisting?
Fisting and female ejaculation. And I just love the female ejaculation. So the male cum shot, which is literally called the money shot in porn, is okay. But cha-ching. Women, you do not get to come.
You're not invited to this particular party.
But do you see, I read this list, how this is almost a straight-up attack on just the entire BDSM community, which BDSM requires consent? This is telling consensual adults what you can no longer watch. I have a problem with this.
I am not huge into porn or anything, but I'm assuming that if there's a market for it, it should be made available to those people. This is very weird. This kind of fulfills the stereotype of the British being sexually repressed.
Prudes.
Like, seriously, Americans are fucked up about this sort of shit. I expected better out of our cousins across the stream pond thing. The big blueness. I really don't know what to think about this. It just seems, like, odd. Like, what? They could be trying to make porn harder to get for young people. But instead they just choose to ban stuff that, if improperly done, could be dangerous, maybe.
The people I know in the BDSM community, they take this shit really seriously. Safe word is not a joke in that community. Safety is the person being penetrated or humiliated or whatnot, they are the ones in control. That's what people don't seem to understand about the BDSM community. The person being humiliated is the one in control. They wield the power. But it seems like David Cameron and these people see someone being pissed on and they're like, oh, they're the victim. No, trust me, they're paying extra for that.
My theory is that this entire movement is actually just to prevent 50 Shades of Grey, the film, being put into being brought over to the UK.
A valiant effort indeed, but...
Well, that brings up an interesting point. Because they said female ejaculation. They did not say female orgasm. So I think they're just trying to drive down the value of my domain name, thesquirtlocker.com.
Except you told me you weren't going to buy that. I went all through all the trouble of looking up the Squirt Locker, finding out that the domain's there, and then you're like, no, I'm not buying it. See if I ever do anything for you again.
Well, I mean, I have bills, man.
Yeah, well, you also could have squirtlocker.com.
I know.
You could have an additional source of revenue with this amazing website.
But some of these, physical or verbal abuse, regardless if consensual. So does that mean the woman can't be like, call me a bitch? No, I can't. It's against the law now. I can't call you a bitch.
I think the whole thing is kind of ridiculous. I think outlawing anything between two consenting adults is fucking goofy. I mean, why would you do that? It has no effect on David Cameron's life. I don't know why he's taken it upon himself to rid the world of all things icky.
Is it an election year or something? Does he need to go up in some easy points with some conservative soccer moms or something? Not in Britain. It would be bowlers or something, but
cricket moms.
Cricket moms.
The only one that I can kind of see where they're coming from is the role playing as non-adults. You know, the whole schoolgirl thing, and that dips into pedophilia. I still think if you're both adults and no kids are actually being involved, you can have your fantasy. That's the only one where I can see where they're coming from, at least. You know what I mean?
Where they're coming from, yes, I see.
Ha, I spelled coming with C-O, though.
Yeah, if the fisting is done correctly, I can't see where they're coming from at all.
You don't stop till you hit the sleeve, man. What?
Oh my god,
I'm surprised the Cherry Poppins was not on that list.
Penetration by any object, quote, associated with violence.
That's really vague.
Yeah, I mean, so if you hit someone with a dildo, then you can't use it in a sexual connotation?
Is that like not letting a flag touch the ground?
This is also vague. Like, humiliation. Okay, that's kind of a vague term.
Yeah, I think that's very subjective. It's way too broad a term, because there's some stuff that happens during sex where if it doesn't humiliate you, then there's something up with you.
I mean, I get the strangulation because that's a dangerous practice anyway. The face sitting, I don't understand that one. I mean, I know what it is, but I don't get the allure of a lot of this shit. But if you're into it, both sides are consensual, I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
And I think this is the British government going out of their way to drive this shit underground. And what happens when you drive something underground? Look at America with Prohibition. All it does is aid the criminal side of it, and you get rid of the safety regulations. There's no upside to them doing this, other than maybe, as Kat pointed out, it might be an election year and winning them a few shit points.
Shit points.
I couldn't think of a word I wanted there.
Also, it should be banned from filming.
Yeah, when you take away what little safety net there is, you know, you're just going, hey, you know, don't do it, and wag your finger at them, and then they're going like, well, now we're going to do this, and there's no regulation behind it, so I don't know. I was under the impression that you could still watch American porn, though. Like, if Americans made some crazy strangulation porn, you could still watch that.
No, because they put in that porn block last year that blocks, like, Pornhub and, you know, X-Hamster and stuff like that. They're actually making it so you can't even import DVDs of this stuff from, like, AdamandEve.com and whatnot.
They're there's a way.
Yeah, we don't want this in our country. It's just going to make the criminals that much smarter to be able to get these people the DVDs that they want.
Best case scenario, if David Cameron succeeds, all he's going to be doing is giving British teenagers a lot of awesome new laws to break. It's going to make it a forbidden fruit kind of thing. Probably more so than if he hadn't made such a big deal out of it in the first place, you know?
You know, I'm actually surprised homosexuality is not on this list if they're really going conservative. That they just didn't straight up go homosexual acts.
Well, maybe they're not that backward.
That's probably
another vote he's trying to court. God's sake.
Trust me, we're going to be talking about homosexuality and American backwardness next. You guys remember our friend, the one who wished for Obama's death and got a little visit from the Secret Service? Well, Pastor Steven Anderson is at it again. He wants the world to be an AIDS-free world by Christmas. I'm quoting. Turn to Leviticus 20:13, because I actually discovered the cure for AIDS. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And that, my friend, is the cure for AIDS. It was right there in the Bible all along, and they're out there spending billions of dollars in research and testing. It's curable right here, because if you executed the homos like God commands, you wouldn't have all this AIDS running rampant. No homos will ever be allowed in this church as long as I'm a pastor here. Never say you're crazy. No, you're crazy. If you think there's something wrong with my no homo policy, if we all do this, we can have AIDS cured by Christmas. This is one of the most hate-fueled things I've ever heard.
I thought we kind of got over the stereotype at some point in time in the last 20 years that AIDS was a gay disease. Like,
yeah, maybe in 1984 it was.
Right? Like, I thought we were past that assumption, that very extremely false assumption, driven by idiocy and lack of understanding of really science or socialization at all.
Or humanity.
what? My brain hurts just thinking about this guy's words.
But he just called for his followers, I don't know how many he has, to go out and kill a fag for God.
I think if it happens, if somebody does that, this guy needs to be put on trial.
I absolutely, like, agree with that. I don't normally believe
he needs
incitement.
To go to trial, like, right now, because this is hate speech. This isn't preaching. This is straight up telling people to kill other people.
Yes, I think he's gone too far. Kind of saddens me that he was allowed to go as far as he did. But I just think it would be awesome if the actual cure for AIDS was the Eucharist. Wouldn't that be a nice twist?
I think if the actual cure for AIDS was Anderson being struck down by God and God finally going, dude, you don't fucking speak for me. Knock it off.
Yeah, lightning just hits him right down the middle, and then the cure for AIDS springs out of his body.
No, it gets him right up the butt.
I think it would be even better if God came down and was like, Stephen.
Well, how do you explain all the women that have AIDS?
Anderson.
Women, homos are the worst kind.
It's just God coming down going, look, no. Guess what? I'm gonna give you AIDS and then cure everyone else with AIDS.
He thinks that the Jewish are a lying, thieving, evil people. He says women should only be allowed to speak in church when they are helping out a man. And this is the man who openly prayed for Barack Obama's death in 2009 because he hates the man that much.
I don't understand how this person calls himself a Christian.
He's a pastor.
This is all very not Christian. I mean, he can point to Leviticus, but he's clearly never fucking read the Bible.
I think he's Christian in the same way that the Dark Ages were Christian. Well, let's move from that right-wing nutballism to a different kind of right-wing nutballism. This actually made me sick. This is actually about 2 weeks old at this point. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but the right wing has now declared war on journalism. As much as Fox News has defamed what journalism is, I wish I were making up this website, rightwingnews.com. From what I can tell on Alexia, has millions of people that visit it regularly. Rightwingnews.com, for the Darren Wilson trial, put the names and home addresses and phone numbers of reporters it doesn't like on its website and tells people to go after them. What sprung this was Darren Wilson, before he retired from the police, before he quit, two New York Times reporters reported on his abrupt wedding right before the Ferguson grand jury decision came down. You guys have probably noticed in local news, whenever there's some story, they always say what block the person lives on. Oh, the accused killer is from the such and such block of this neighborhood. They never give the street address. Well, the New York Times reporters, when reporting on Darren Wilson's wedding, posted he lives on such and such block. So right-wing news just went nuts. Right-wing news said that, oh yeah, they think it's all right to put Darren Wilson's address out there. Keep in mind, they did not put out his home address. So they put out the addresses of the New York Times reporters, and they are asking people to go and give them a visit and see how they like having their address out there. This is a war on journalists. This is despicable.
To begin our story, I think the New York Times journalists were not very smart in even putting the street address. Is it common? Yes. Was it appropriate for this particular situation? Not so much.
Oh, I'm not defending them saying that they did it right. They probably should have used discretion. This was overcorrecting, I think.
Right, right. It's this whole idea of two wrongs don't make a right. The New York Times really shouldn't have put the street address there, because then people can try and figure it out and go and potentially do something bad to Darren Wilson, who wasn't even living there at the time. He had long abandoned his house and was living in a hotel.
Because wasn't his address already well publicized in your area?
Yeah, people had known his address for quite a while. And he wasn't living there. He was like staying at a hotel. And there's stories about how he would go out in disguises to go to the movies because it was dark and nobody would see him there. And he would like cross dress and all of this other stuff.
Isn't that convenient?
This is what we have to talk about. So like he wasn't even living there, but it was still in bad taste. It was like them just sort of following a procedure that normally the media would follow. And then it just really wasn't a good idea. And they probably shouldn't have done it, but they did. Doxing somebody because you think they made a boo-boo is not making anything better. It's petty, and it's a terrible, terrible idea. You are setting up your worst possible people who follow your news to do terrible things. And even if you have a public figure like a reporter, they still have the right to privacy. Yeah, that right doesn't go away just because you're on the news.
Well, I definitely think it's overkill. I think it's one person saying, I'm allowed to do something this shitty because these people did something half as shitty without meaning to. So I can't really follow the logic there. But I think this whole thing shouldn't even be an issue unless Darren Wilson has an unlisted phone number. Because even though nobody uses a fucking phone book anymore, they still get made. And unless he does not have an unlisted number, I don't know. I think saying someone's address on TV doesn't make it any more well-known than just as an address, because the numbers are on the outside of the house. it's not hard to find someone's address. They didn't, like, out a war criminal or anything like that. It's not difficult to find an address of somebody. So I definitely think it's overkill by posting all these New York Times writers' addresses and telling people to go fuck with them. That's morally and journalistically wrong.
That's kind of the point. Look what happened a few years ago with George Tiller, the famous abortion doctor. Bill O'Reilly said, somebody should take this guy out. And one of his nutball followers went and shot George Tiller and said he was doing it on behalf of what Bill O'Reilly said. And of course, Bill O'Reilly worded it in such a way of take him out, not kill him. The right wing tends to have the people that are going to go shoot motherfuckers for what they think is an indiscretion. And right-wing news, they tried to cloak this all in. It would be wrong, for example, to publish Bozeman's address at, and the address, it would also be similarly wrong to publish the address of Robertson. And they published that as sort of a, oops, we were just doing our jobs. That's the attitude that they had on this post, and that sickened me. But this isn't the first time. If you can't defend your side, you attack the people attacking you. Austin Kutcher co-owns a company that has been taking a whole lot of shit lately over the quality of their products. A leaked video recently found him and the CEO having a discussion about not correcting the problems people have with their products, but saying maybe we should go after, their word, go after the people complaining about them. That don't correct what's wrong. Let's just make the people who are vocally against us shut the fuck up. At what point does a journalist become the story themselves? Is this a new trend we're seeing in the right wing, going after the journalist is the new tactic?
I don't know, because I haven't. Well, I mean, it's sort of always been there, hasn't it? Like, it's always easier to attack somebody who's making a valid point rather than solve a problem. That's basically all the fucking news does. But for people to just be, you know, not targeting a party or a franchise or whatever, but for them to specifically go, hey, go fuck with this person, here's their address, that is really fucked up. I don't know if it's a trend or not. And I get that harassing your competitors has just kind of always been a thing, but this is dangerous. This is reckless, and it's wrong in every way. And there's no way you can justify this bullshit.
It kind of feels like a shameless ratings grab to me, you know? Because when it comes to reporting the news is what it is. It happens, and it's up to each individual news channel to decide how they're going to report it. It used to be everybody just reported the news, and that was it. But now, with parent companies and subsidiaries and advertising revenue and everything else coming into play, it's all a ratings grab, because the network that has the best ratings gets the most money from advertisers and stockholders.
But see, what they do now, Charlie, is they're cloaking it under a new term, which you've only seen pop up in the 2000s, editorial direction. That story does not fit with our editorial direction, which is a way of saying we legally can lie.
Yeah, that's such just a shithead term. It hurts even to hear you say it out loud like that. Editorial direction, that's just saying, okay, we think more people will watch if we're shitty people, so we're just going to go ahead and be shitty people.
But there's also the fact that this has already, what right-wing news did, has already had the desired outcome for the right wing. It sent a chilling effect through news reporters that now they're afraid, if I go after this, maybe the story's 100% legitimate, but if I go after this right-wing spokesman, they're going to out me and they're going to start talking about my divorce and pointing out whether I owe child support or whatnot. It's sending a chilling effect of going, are you sure you really want to publish this story? That hurts everybody.
It's the anonymous effect where it's kind of like a little bit like terrorism, actually, where you no longer want to do your job correctly or honestly out of fear that someone is going to leak your information all over the internet and then direct people to harass you.
In a way, this ties in with the Bill Cosby thing, because you'll notice Bill Cosby's lawyer is not refuting a single one of their claims. He's going after all of them and trying to impugn their credibility of all of the accusers. Look at the Jeffrey Wigand case from the, you know, which was dramatized in the movie The Insider. Brown and Williamson couldn't factually refute a single thing Jeffrey Wigand said about them. So they went after him, and do you want to believe a man who once hit his wife? Do you want to believe a man who hasn't paid his child support in 6 months? It's impugning the source rather than dealing with the issue. It's, hey, look over here! Look over here!
Oh, it's politicians. It's like an election year where you do a
character. Technically, it's just in the past.
Yeah, where you go after a person's character rather than their actions, because it's easier to go, oh, well, this guy's a little bit of an asshole. Ignore the good things that he's done, because he's a little bit of an asshole.
But do you think that chilling effect is actually out there, that this is going to make other reporters think twice about maybe, I don't know, the right wing really does have a lot of loons. Do I really want to enter this circus ring?
I don't think we're there yet, because this kind of seems like an isolated incident.
Fingers crossed.
I think if it happens a few more times, then it's going to be a problem.
I think this is nothing more than a tactic. I think when you're in the journalistic game, the modern era journalistic game, it's easier to undermine your competition than it is to be better. So if you attack the journalist, that way you don't have to refute individual stories as they come up. If you just discredit the person reporting these stories, then you've taken care of every story they report on in the future. It's ruthless, it's unethical, but it is just a tactic.
Is it a tactic we should be employing in this age, or have we devolved in the term journalism to this point that this is now how the game is played?
I think it's a tactic that we definitely should not be employing. Just idealistically, I don't think that we should, but I don't think people are going to be stopping anytime soon.
I don't really understand how journalism works nowadays anyway. We could probably have an entire 60-minute episode on all of the issues with journalism now.
I just look at this as despicable what right-wing news did. I look at it as a mistake what the New York Times did. At the same time, I've seen more people rallying against the New York Times reporters on both sides than they have the right-wing news site, because they're trying to say, you fucked up, you kind of brought this on yourself. I don't think that's the right tactic here. They're letting right-wing news off way too light. That's the part that's pissing me off the most here.
Is these guys just did something worse than what those guys did, but these guys are okay because it was revenge? How fucked up is that?
That's the vibe I'm getting from reading, you know, the comments and forum posts and op-eds, and it kind of seems like, hey, you brought this on, you know?
You had it coming. You had it coming wearing that shirt like that.
You know, she had it coming. She was looking real sexy at me.
Printing addresses and stuff. What was I supposed to do?
Fucking bitch, do your job and shit? What the hell? I'm just hoping this is not a new trend. I'm hoping I don't see more of this, and I hope we never have to talk about this again. I think I'm living in a fantasy world of rainbows and unicorns and magical butt sex that you can have in the UK, that an adult can have any way that they want, using products from AdamandEve.com, using the promo code what? I don't know.
We're such a whore, man.
I'm not a whore, because if I was a whore, I'd get paid for this. Trust me, I make shit. I'm just a slut. I do it for fun.
Just for the cheap thrill.
I do it because I hate myself. Kat, where can people find you? And if they're in the UK, they might not be able to, but where can they find you?
Well, the British people could definitely find me on my other shows, because my other shows are not blocked by porn things. But anyway, you can find me on the social medias at Twitter, at LabyrinthCat, and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And then you can also find me on Thespian Talk on rtgomer.com. I was like... my brain is not functioning right now. And
she wants cheese. You guys won't get that because I wasn't recording yet.
Cheese is delicious, and we were having a conversation about it. And you can also find me on my other show, Nerds of the Third Power, over on channelawesome.com.
Where can people find you, even though you're definitely going to be blocked? I mean, Christ, in one of your short films, I saw your ass. I should not have to know what your ass looks like.
Well, no one should really know, but they're always better for the experience. But you cannot find me on British internet, because in the right light, my face does look like the vagina of a mature, natural lady. But for the time being, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and geekjuicemedia.com.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. Pornblock doesn't stop it. And you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Remember, guys, just... yeah.
law-sucking motherfuckers out there. It's time to win a chance to butt-bang your daughter's tight virgin cherry ass. To call her number 666!
That's for all you gays. We've got incest, bestiality, too. We got Friday and sweetest taboo. We got girls who eat your pee and poo. Guys who'd love to fuck your shoe. There's pee. And we got mamas with so much glee. Since the skin lights will be a crunch. Yeah!
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.